Good morning. Hey, I just want to welcome everybody who's watching online and joining us this morning. Can we do something fun? Could you stand up real quick and turn around? We're going to wave to our folks that are watching online. They're such a part of us. We love you guys. And we are so glad you are joining us online. Let's just give them a round of applause. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Yes, I did get a facial yesterday for the first time in my life. How do you go from there? How do I redeem this from here? All right. So I want to start off with a few scriptures in the Psalms. Let's turn to Psalms 130 and 5. And it says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Psalms 40 and 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. Psalms 27 and 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. These scriptures all have something in common, and that is waiting. That is waiting, and today's sermon is going to be waiting on God, but I want to tell you something. I am a pastor, and I'm supposed to have some fruits of the Spirit, and one of those is patience. And let me just tell you, I'm going to be transparent for a little bit. God is really still working on my life in the area of patience, in the area of waiting. I don't like it. I don't like waiting. I really don't. I don't like waiting. I like to get stuff done. And I like to get things done quickly. And have you ever had a conversation with a slow talker? A slow talker. Love them. There's probably some slow talkers in here. You're having a conversation. You go, how are you doing today? Well, God's been good to me. And I just got to tell you, I was driving down the road yesterday, and I just really want to help them. I want to help them. I want to say, and you were driving down the road yesterday, and what? I want to help you communicate what you're communicating to me. I have a hard time with slow talkers and slow walkers. When you're trying to get somewhere and you're walking with somebody that you love, and you keep looking back, and they're way back there. It's like, come on, let's go. Let's get somewhere. I don't like waiting. I really don't like waiting. Slow drivers. When you're driving down the road, and you get behind somebody that is going 5 miles an hour, and you're like, wait a minute. Man, I wish I had your life. Man, it must be awesome to have nothing going on. Man, it must be so great that every day is Sunday for you. But some of us got to get somewhere. Driving slow. I'll tell you this. You know you have a problem with waiting when you get angry at your Keurig coffee machine. You know the coffee machines that spit coffee out like that? You know, I'm the one that walks up and it's always warming up when I'm trying to get a cup of coffee. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I thought this was supposed to be fast. So waiting. Yes, I do have a problem. All right, let's be honest here. Let's be brutally honest. How many, and I know I'm not the only one in here, how many of you have paid more for shipping than you did for the item you ordered because you wanted it right away? Okay, all right, so I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. I don't like waiting, and when I first met my wife, Tabitha, I was 17 years old, and I waited 2 full weeks before asking her to marry me. I didn't want to wait. I was ready to go. We were going to live with my parents. I bought her this little ring that had a fleck of a diamond in it, and man, I was ready to go. I had it all planned out. We was going to work, and somehow that ring turned into a promise ring, and I waited 2 more years to marry her. And part of waiting, and some of it gets so frustrating when you go to a doctor and you wait an entire hour to see a doctor and he gives you 5 minutes. Does that do something to you? I'm like, I'm in there. I've been waiting an hour, man. You got to check more out. Look, what's going on with this spot here? Hey, man, something weird's happening with this. Can you check this out? You know, you want more time. You want more time because you waited so long. I'll tell you this. I have a brother-in-law that is crazy. And he told me, hey, man, I got this thing I do all the time when I want to get in to see the doctor real quick. I said, what's that? Man, you just lay down on the floor in the middle of the emergency room. You just lay down. Doesn't matter. You'll get right in. They'll start looking at you. Like, man, you are crazy. But I may try that the next time. I may try that. I don't think anybody in here likes to wait. I don't think any of us like to wait. But right now, we are all waiting for something. Some of you are waiting for this sermon to end. But I want to tell you, in your life, the average person spends 6 months waiting in line. 6 months of your life waiting in line. 653 hours waiting on a train. If you're in San Marcos, you quadruple that. And it's only when you have to be somewhere right at a certain time, a train will come. And have you ever had them stop? You're like, wait, you're not stopping. You're not stopping. Do you see us here? We are waiting on you. And you're stopping the train. 20 weeks on the telephone on hold with the worst hold music ever. They punish us. They punish us with that hold music. But some of us have been praying and waiting on God for things for a long, long time. Some of us have been praying for a healing. Some of us have been praying for our husband or our marriage or, I've been praying for so long for this, my children, my child. I bring them to you in prayer every day, God. I've been waiting on you, Lord. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people waiting on God. Abraham and Sarah waited 24 years for a child after God had promised them that. 24 years. Joseph waited in prison for, I think, somewhere around 13 years, falsely accused. Now get this, the children of Israel waited 400 years in Egypt for freedom. David waited years to be king after he was told he would be king, and yet this promise just kept, he kept asking God and seeking God, and he's being chased by Saul through the mountains year after year, this promise from God, waiting on God. The fact is that in God's plan, in our walk with him as Christians, as servants, whether we like it or not, God uses waiting. And that there is a purpose for it. And the funny thing is God doesn't always move at our frantic pace. Have you ever had those prayers? Have you ever had those frantic prayers and God answers them? When you get those really quick prayers and, man, God, I need you, and God comes through. Man, we post them on Facebook. Ooh, I had this thing going on today and God came through. But God doesn't always move at that pace. Sometimes you've got a big need and it comes up in a day. Goes by. I'm like, okay, God, I'm still waiting on you. And then a week goes by. And then a month goes by. And then years go by. And God always answers. He will always answer. He will always answer us. And there's three possible answers for your prayers. Yes, no, or wait. So why does God make us wait? Why does the creator of heaven and earth, the one that can speak things into existence, the one who knows what we need before we even ask him, the one that we know could just stop the sun, we know he has the power to answer any prayer that we give him. And he can do it at any time. Why doesn't he always bring us the answers we need? And the healing and the help and the relief right when we ask him? And that is a great question. If you know the answer to that, I'd like to know.
But in this message, I hope to shed some light on how God uses waiting to perfect us. That there is a purpose in the pause. That there is a purpose in the pause.
And so waiting on God, how do we do that? What does that look like? How do we wait on God? And I want to tell you that the word wait in the Bible is so closely related to faith, it's almost used interchangeably. To wait is to look for, to hope, to expect, to look eagerly for, to linger, to collect, to bind together. It takes faith to wait. It takes faith to wait. It takes faith for us to give up control and say, okay, God, okay, I'm usually the one that handles everything, but I'm going to release some control here. It takes faith to give up control to God. And our deep, fervent prayers. I'm talking not those lay me down to sleep prayers, but those yearning prayers that we pray. They're fervent. You know my heart, God. You know, God, you know how you made me. And God, I'm seeking you. I'm asking you. Waiting on God requires patient trust. It requires patient trust. Really what you're doing is you're giving God the benefit of the doubt that he knows what he is doing. You give God the benefit of the doubt that, wow, I don't see why you're not answering me right now. I really have no clue. It makes sense. I could give you glory right now. I am ready to post this. If you do this, God, I will give you so much glory right now. Come on, all I have to do is hit send. All I got to do is submit this. Are you ready for this glory, God? And it doesn't always come. And then you're praying for it the next day, and the next day, and the next day. When we wait on God, we are saying, I trust you. I trust you, God. And I want what you want for me. I want what you want for me. Even though things are not going to my plan. Because I thought things were, man, in my brain, in my thoughts, I thought things were supposed to happen like this. And Lord, man, this is, remember, Lord, when we talked about how I wanted my story to be? Remember, God, I wanted this to happen, and I wanted that job, and I wanted that life, and that, this, and that. God, this isn't the way that we thought it was going to work, God. Waiting on God is a way of seeing if we will trust him before we move forward. And let me say this, waiting on God is not just sitting and doing nothing. Waiting on God is not a passive thing. Waiting on God is not just saying, okay, all right, God, this is completely up to you. I'm just going to sit and do nothing at all. I hear people that are looking for a job or needing a job. And, you know, they're going to say, okay, God, all right, I believe, God, you're just going to drop a job right in my lap. Lord, that some employer out there is just out of nowhere randomly going to find my telephone number, and he's just going to call me up and drop a dream job right on my lap. That's not the waiting that we're talking about. That's not a waiting that we're talking about. You still got to pray. You still got to seek God, but you got to get out of bed. You got to turn off the TV set, and you got to start filling out some applications, because God will direct you. God will direct you, but he requires you to walk in faith. He requires you to get out of bed. He requires you to do something. Author John Ortberg says, waiting on the Lord is the confident, disciplined, expectant, active, and sometimes painful clinging to God. A painful clinging to God, but it's active. It's active, and it requires something of us. It requires us to lay down what our plan was, our thoughts. It requires us to submit to the will of God's authority and direction. It's really saying, God, I want you as plan A,
And I want you to be plan A, and I give up on plan B. There is no plan B. God, you're plan A. You are plan A. And it humbles us. It humbles us when you have to say, I don't know all the answers. I can't even figure this out. God, I expected A, B, C, and God, you came back with Z, Q, and R. And that's how you're going to answer this. And that's completely different than I thought. Has God ever answered prayers for you in a way that you had no, like, what? What on earth? Through them? Oh, okay, God. Has God ever just blown you away? And man, you had it all scripted out on how God was supposed to do it. Man, you had it planned out. Man, God, and you would come across man, you would just come break in and you would rescue me right at my job right here. Boom, knock the boss over. Man, it would just be awesome. This is the way you need to do it. And God said, no, I've got a better way. And it takes humility. It takes saying, I don't know anything, God. You know everything. I don't know anything, God. You know everything. I can't even begin to think this out. I'm going to humble myself, God. I'm gonna submit to you and submit to your plan. And I'm realizing and I'm telling you right now, God, that I am not in charge and I am not God. And so what happens when we don't wait on God? Man, I've got a lot of stories in my own life. Man, I know how to mess some things up. I know how to jump out and, man, make some bad decisions. I've got some doozies. I've done some dumb things. But what happens when we get impulsive? What happens when we jump out and we try to manipulate a situation and we get in trouble and then we push and we scheme and we try to figure things out in our own way? And then we tell God, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? God, I'm so sorry. I need your help now. I need you to guide me and lead me and get me out of this mess. And sometimes when we don't wait on God, when we get into a situation or we don't ask and we just kind of walk our own way or there's just some times where we even get into something where we don't want to wait. We needed something to happen right away. Some of us run away. And some of us have the habit of running away instead of waiting on God. And we try to get away from things. It's like that fight or flight mentality. It didn't go our way. It didn't go the way we thought it is, so I want out. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. I'm taking my ball and I'm going to the next job. You know, because my boss is a jerk. That boss is a jerk. And man, and those coworkers were mean to me. And this relationship I'm in, they're selfish and they're this and they're that. And that relationship is, so I need to go on to the next relationship. Or the church. Well, they were mean to me in that church. Well, they didn't talk to me. I walked in and they didn't look at me. And I mean, they got clicks or they got that. And so you're gonna take your ball and go to the next church or the next relationship or the next place or the next thing. And I want you to know that no matter where you go, there will be people. And no matter what you do, the next job, the boss may also be a jerk. In the next church, you're going to run into people. And in the next relationship, guess what? They're a person. They got issues. Just like the previous one, they got issues too. So as long as you deal with people, there will be issues. And why not pray and ask God what you need to do? And why not wait on God and let Him direct you? Waiting on God to let Him direct you. Here's a tough, tough question. What if it's not the boss? What if it's not the job? What if it's not the spouse? Or not the boyfriend? Or not the girlfriend? What if it's not the church? Or the situation? What if God wants to change you? What if God wants to change me? Because I'm going to tell you this, if you're not waiting on God, the next Mr. Right or Mrs. Right is going to get you right back into the mess you're currently in. If we run out ahead of God, If we run out ahead of God, our lives will always be full of turmoil, and you will always be exhausted. You will always be looking for the next thing. You'll be always looking for the next job because, man, they're all a bunch of jerks. And, man, all those drivers are horrible. They're all crashing in my rearview mirror. What's wrong with them? The problem of not waiting for God is that we forfeit the blessing of having God work in our lives. You forfeit it. You forfeit it. I've got a very transparent story here. When I was newly married, young, I was awful with money. I was never shown how to handle money. And so, man, when I got a paycheck, I had like 8 things that, I'm going to get that shirt that I wanted. I want to get that and get that. And so I would make horrible, horrible decisions. And I worked for, I got a great job and I worked for a law firm. And, man, I was just very bad with money. And one day I was at the job, and Tab calls me and told me, man, this bill is late. This is going on. We got this to pay for. And I got so frustrated and desperate that I immediately jumped up after I got off the phone and I ran into my boss's office. I said, man, I need a raise. I need a raise. Look what I've done this year. I've saved this much money. Man, I've got these projects all done. Man, come on, I need a raise. Am I worth it? Can I have a raise? And he goes, Will, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to think about it, and I'll talk to you about this tomorrow. I'm like, okay. And I walked out of that office, and that night I felt awful. I felt awful. I felt, oh, man. God, I didn't even pray about this. I didn't even ask about this. And God began to work on my heart that night. He goes, Will, even if that boss gave you a $1 million raise, you mishandle my blessings. You mishandle what I give you. You waste it. You act impulsively, and you spend it incorrectly, and you spend it upon your own self. And he began to talk to me, and I began to feel so convicted. And so the next day, I walk into my boss's office, and I said, I need to apologize to you. I didn't pray about this. I was frustrated. I'm not handling money properly. I'm not handling things properly. And I want to apologize to you. I was so frustrated. And I came in and I asked you for a raise. And this is something that you probably never heard someone ask their boss. I said, don't give me a raise. Please don't give me a raise. And he said, okay. But I'll tell you that from that point, I started to realize, okay, God, the problem isn't these bills. The problem isn't these situations. The problem was me. And God said, no, wait. You're not going to get a raise until you understand how to handle what I give you properly. He said, wait. And God began to change things in my lives and change the way that I saw money. I began to see, it's not mine. This is yours. Everything I have is yours. And God began to move on my heart differently. And he began to speak to me. And we began to start paying off debts. Debt after debt after debt. And I'm going to tell you, God gave me a raise just by paying off my own debts. God works differently sometimes. And so it's tough. And sometimes, there are people that are in that situation and they get desperate and I got to get another job. I got to go out. He's not paying me enough. I'm going to the next place. God may want to work on you. And so stay present in waiting. There's always a temptation to look on to the next thing. There's always a thought that, okay, the grass is greener over there. But I want you to know that God may want you to grow right where you are. And the only way you're going to know that is by listening and by waiting on him. Let God lead you. It works out so much better. It really does. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now listen to this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That sounds like that takes a little bit of time. If you are to acknowledge God in all of your ways, that's waiting on God. If you say, okay, God, before I do anything, I'm going to ask you, I'm acknowledging God. God, I'm going to acknowledge you before I go into another relationship. God, is this the relationship you want me in, or do you want me to wait? Or God, am I going to go jump out of this job because it's not working out exactly how I wanted it at this moment? Or God, do you want me to wait? And when you acknowledge God at every part of your life, if you just say, wait a minute, God, I want what you want for me. And I wait for it, and you listen for it, and you hear what God is saying. And I want to tell you, sometimes everything lines up like it should be the answer. And I'll tell you this, me and Tabitha, we've been looking for a little camper we're going to go on a summer vacation. So we were looking for campers and those little pull-behind campers. And we needed a place to keep 64 children because we got a lot of kids. And man, we were saving and praying and waiting. And man, this camper came up that was just perfect. It had a place for every single child. There was bunk beds and all kinds of cool stuff. And man, it was perfect. We went and talked to the salesperson, and they even came down on the price. And man, it just looked like it was exactly what we were looking for. And so, man, we got excited about it. We went home and was like, yeah, we have this. This is perfect. We've been saving. And then all of a sudden, God said, wait. And, we told the salesperson, we never make a decision right away. We always ask God. We wait. We wait. And so that sales guy's like, huh? I said, no, I'm not going to give you an answer. We always pray about it. And man, I thought, in my mind, the answer was yes. My goodness, I was like, I'm not telling him, but I'm excited about this. This is awesome! But I'll tell you what, we waited. And then a whole day went by. And I was like, wait, God, but he's going to sell it to somebody else. I know there's somebody looking at it right now. That's ours. And God said, wait. But God, do you see how many kids it fits? Lord, it fits all our kids. It's perfect for us. And God said, wait. And one day went to 2 days. And 2 days went to 3 days. And a week went by. And God didn't say yes. God said, wait. We didn't get the camper. We completely waited. The salesperson called, and I said, it's just not time. And I'll tell you what, God had us wait for a reason. God had a reason for that, because there was something that was coming up that God was providing for. So we thought we were going to spend it on this, but God said, uh-uh, I was saving this because I was going to save you in a very tough situation. And so God said, wait. And we listened, and it was painful. But he knew. And so waiting means turning over every area of your life to him. Every area. Even when it's painful. And waiting on God reminds us that he is really in control. He is really in control. And there's some beautiful things that happen to your life when you give God control. When you give up the reins, when you let God begin to make decisions for you and help you make decisions, beautiful things happen. You learn God himself. You begin to see his handwriting on your life. You begin to see things differently. You begin to study how he is working on you while you wait. A perfect example of waiting on the Lord is found in Isaiah 40 and 31. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I probably say this about every scripture, but this really is my favorite scripture in the Bible. It always has been. And when I read this scripture, I get excited. I get really excited about this scripture. Renewed strength. I want renewed strength. Who wants their strength renewed? To mount up with wings as eagles, soaring, awesome. I want to be able to soar over these tough times. Lord, I need you to help me soar above this right now. Running and not getting tired or weary, sweet. Walking and not fainting, that is always a good thing. And many of us have this verse memorized. Many of us, we can quote it. I actually have a coffee cup with this verse on it. This is my favorite verse. That's my coffee cup. That's my favorite coffee cup. I read it and drink my coffee. But it's one of those verses that we all quote. We want to mount up with wings like eagles. We want to fly over our difficulties. We want to run through life and not get weary. Sometimes you get weary in waiting. God, I prayed for this. You know I've prayed for this. I'm asking for this, God. How do I not get tired in waiting on this? I want to walk through this, God. I want to walk through this and not become faint. I want the promise of that verse. They that wait. The Hebrew word for wait is a little different here. It means to bind together by twisting, to gather together like in the making of a rope. It's like making a rope. What does that mean? How does that work in my life, God? What are you saying to me? Have you ever seen a rope made? It's strand after strand after strand, very weak strands, but when they're all together, they're strong. What this scripture is saying is they that wait on God. It's like meshing your life together with God. It's like a strand here. I'm going to lean on you, God. And here's another strand here. Here's another strand, God. Here's another area, God, I'm going to trust you in. Here is another area, God. I'm going to keep wrapping my life around you, God. I want to bind myself to you, God. I want to mesh my life to you, God, like a rope. And sometimes we don't do that, and sometimes we want God's strength, so we throw a lifeline to God, and we try to hold on and pull ourselves over. But what God is saying, if you want this kind of strength while you're waiting, you mesh yourself to him. You bind yourself to him. You let every area of your life twist together with God. And God will give you the strength you need. And God will give you the strength when you don't think you have it anymore. When you think you've waited to the very last day and you can't wait anymore, God says, I am your strength. You thought it was your strength? No. Because when you lash your life around God, when you roped your life around God, it's his strength. That's why you can mount up with wings as eagles. That's how you can run and not be weary. It's not in our strength. It's his. And I wanted to tell you today that there's hope. I want to tell those that are waiting and waiting and waiting for an answer. You're waiting for your healing. You're waiting for this. You've been asking God, and God is seemingly not answering or seemingly not listening. God is doing something in your life right now. God is changing you, and that there is purpose in this pause. There is purpose and perfection in what God's doing in this pause. It seems like he's hit the pause button. But he's working on you. He's changing you. He's doing something to you. He's speaking to your life. You're realizing how real he is in this wait. So give him your anxiety. Stop pushing. Stop manipulating. Start trusting. There's a poem by Russell Kelfer called Wait. It's a beautiful poem. Desperately, helplessly, longingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, God replied. I pled and I wept for a clue to my fate. And the master so gently said, wait. Wait? You say wait? My indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened? Or have you not heard? By faith I have asked, and I am claiming your word. My future and all to which I relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me to wait? I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead, a sign, or even a no to which I can resign. You promised, dear Lord, that if we believe, we need but to ask and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied again, wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taut, and grumbled to God, "So I'm waiting for what?" He seemed then to kneel, and his eyes met with mine. And tenderly he said, "I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens and darken the sun. I could raise the dead and cause mountains to run. I could give you all you seek, and pleased you would be. You'd have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power that I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through the clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence are all you can see. You'd never experience the fullness of love when the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You wouldn't know that I give and I save for a start. But you'd not know the depth of the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late into the night. The faith that I give when you walk without sight. The depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. You'd never know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dearest dreams overnight would come true, but oh, the loss if you missed what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gifts is to truly know me. And though oft my answers seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. One of the most beautiful things about waiting on God is you getting God, is you knowing God. And so we think our prayer is for that thing that we need. And in the middle of that and in that journey, it may not even be the thing that we get, but we get God in the wait. And that there is a purpose in the pause. And that God is doing an amazing thing by telling you to wait. But wait in Him. Trust Him. Trust what He is doing in your life. Trust and see what God is doing. And you will look back and you will see, God, you were right on time. God, I am so glad I waited for you. You know what you're doing. Let's pray. God, we just come before you, God. And we're just waiting on you today. God, we give up control. And Lord, there are some in this room that have not yet even ventured into trusting you. There are some in this room that have not yet waited on you, God. I pray, God, that they learn to wait on you. I pray, God, that you come into their life and that you change them. And you let them see that your ways are higher than our ways. And your ways are higher. And your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God, I pray for those who have been waiting for a long time, that are desperate, that are seeking your face, that they are longing for an answer. I pray, God, that you give them strength, that you give them patience, that they can confidently and patiently trust in you. I pray, God, for all of those right now, God, that feel like giving up. I pray, God, that you give them hope, that you let them know, God, that you are more than enough. God, that you are the answer. And sometimes, God, when you tell us no, when the answer is just flat out no, that we accept it and we realize, God, that your no's make more sense. And that we accept it, God, and we say that you're good enough for us, God. That you're more than enough for me in this situation. I pray, God, that we learn to know you, that we learn to know you and patiently wait for you. We love you, Jesus. I thank you, God, for this word that you've given my heart today. I know you've changed me, God. I want to wait for you. I don't want to jump out in front of you. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to wait for you. God, you're so good to us. You're so merciful. And we love you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
God is good. Let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus.